Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and we will start there this evening. In Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 22, "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The sermon this evening is Hades, Hell, and the Resurrection. And I put this together so I would be able to explain to people a little bit better about the resurrection and the judgment. But in order to explain that to people, we have to understand what happens when we die and where we die. We have this video that's on the back, and if you haven't looked at it, it would be really be good for you to get one of these to watch. Share it with your neighbor, share it with somebody. You can go to our website and on the resources page, look at that. If you have a smartphone, you can pull it up and watch it. It's about 28 minutes. I'm going to cover some things different, or focus on some different things than what is in that video, but I suggest that you take a look at it. You see, many people in the religious world misunderstand what happens when we die. Some people think and believe in reincarnation, that we are going to come back as another person, come back as some animal. Some people believe in ghosts, that we come back as ghosts. Some people believe in purgatory, where we will go to be held in a place till our sins are done away with. Some think that we just cease to exist when we die. Many people believe that we are all going to heaven and that we are going to heaven as soon as we die. But what does the Bible say? Well, let's start with Hades. And Hades is a Greek word from Greek mythology. It's also called Pluto, the wealthy one, the giver of wealth. In Greek mythology, the god of the underworld. Hades was the son of Titans, Cronus, and Rhea. Then he lists and brother of deities Zeus, Poseidon, Demeter, Hera, and Hestia. So this word, it's a Greek word, and basically it means unseen and refers to the abode of the dead. It is the realm of disembodied spirits, or the unseen world. There is no inherent idea of punishment in this term itself, even though when we read in Luke 16, we see that the wicked are tormented in Hades. So it describes a realm where all the spirits abide between death and the resurrection. Now this word Hades is translated in the King James Version by the word hell. In Luke 16:23 and Acts 2:27, though, hell, we've got to understand that hell is the eternal abode of the wicked after judgment. Hell is a permanent place where a soul would go after the judgment. This word was corrected in many other translations, and in the New King James translation, where it's reflected with the word Hades. But again, to properly understand the term Hades, we've got to understand that there are three different states of our spirit. There's the first state, which is a union with the physical body. So when does that happen? That happens at conception. That happens at conception, and then it terminates at death, at physical death. The second state of our spirit then is when it is separated from the physical body. this begins with death of the body and then the resurrection of the body. That's when Hades is emptied of all the inhabitants at the resurrection. Revelation 20 and verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades were delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. So when we are conceived, God sends the spirit to our body. That spirit is in our body till we die. When we die, that spirit goes to the Hadean realm. And then when the resurrection takes place, the third state is the reunion of that spirit with a new body, an incorruptible body. 1 Corinthians 15:44 says, it is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. So there's a natural body and a spiritual body. We know that Hades will be destroyed when the third state begins. Revelation 20:14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And we know that Christ has power over death and Hades, and he will abolish them at the second coming. Revelation 1:18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. We also need to understand that when Christ died, where did he go? His spirit went to Hades in Acts 2:27 and 31. Let's turn there. We're going to look at this passage at the beginning and at the end of the lesson also. Acts 2:27. We'll start at 25. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption, which Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So are we to suppose that when Jesus died, that he was tormented in Hades? No, certainly not. What did he tell the thief? What did he tell the thief? When he was crucified with him, he said that he was going to paradise. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. We looked at this word several weeks ago, talking about the gardens of the Bible, and paradise is a transliterated word meaning garden or place of pleasure. Luke 23:24. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say today, you will be with me in paradise. Also consider, when Christ went to Hades in Acts 2:27, he went into the hands of God who would be in heaven. Notice that after telling the thief that he would be with him in paradise, in Luke 23:46, what does he say? When Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So we know he went to paradise and he committed his spirit into the hands of his Father. also his spirit went to paradise in Hades, but he did not go to heaven that day. In John 20 and verse 14, then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And remember, Jesus said, and we looked at this morning in Matthew 16, 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's the King James. This is Hades, the unseen realm. Peter quotes this prophecy of David concerning the resurrection of Christ that we read in Acts 2, that his soul was not left in hell or Hades or hell, as some translations have, nor is his body in the grave. So we have Hades. We have another word also, Gehenna. And the King James translators uses one word for both places, Hades and Gehenna. What is Gehenna? Well, Gehenna, it's a word that the origin of it is Hinnom, or the Valley of Hinnom. And that was a deep, narrow ravine south of Jerusalem. And that was one of the high places of Baal in the Valley of Hinnom. And what did they do there? They sacrificed their children in this valley. They offered them up as burnt offerings in pagan worship to the god Molech. The prophet Jeremiah foretold that God would judge this awful abomination of human sacrifice. It would cause such a destruction that the valley of the son of Hinnom would become known as the Valley of Slaughter. Years later, this valley still existed at Jerusalem at the first century, and at this point it wasn't being used to sacrifice humans and babies, but it literally became a garbage dump where they would take dead bodies. It was like a garbage dump that was perpetually burning. It was burning all the time. This says, and this is from Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary, "Refuse, waste materials, dead animals, bodies were burned here. Fires continually smoldered, and smoke from the burning debris rose day and night. Hinnom thus became a graphic symbol of woe and judgment, and of the place of eternal punishment called hell." Translated into the Greek, the Hebrew Valley of Hinnom becomes Gehenna, which is used 12 times in the New Testament, 11 times by Jesus, and once by James. So we have this Gehenna is hell. Hades is temporary. Hell is eternal. And the judgment is going to take place in between the resurrection and the judgment. But just to look at a couple verses on Gehenna, Matthew 10:28, "Do not fear those who will kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That word is Gehenna. And notice some of the aspects of this. Matthew 25:41, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into,'" you know what type of fire it is, "everlasting fire." Everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It's everlasting because it's eternal. Eternal. Mark 9:43. Notice the permanency here. "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched." This eternal fire. And again, any of the Jews that Jesus was speaking to at this time, if they were within any close distance to that valley of Hinnom, they would have known, understood completely, this fire is never going to go out. It's never going to be quenched. Again, Mark 9:48, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. It's a place of eternal punishment. Revelation 20:10, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Permanent. No end to this. Revelation 20:14, 15, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into this lake of fire. And this word Gehenna always refers to eternal punishment. So this is not the place where Jesus went at his death in 2:27. That was temporary. Gehenna is eternal. So the King James uses the English word hell to describe Hades and Gehenna, which creates confusion sometimes. Now, to add to the confusion, there's another Greek word, Tartarus, and that is also translated hell in the King James, and it means a place of punishment. But this refers to the part of Hades where the wicked are held in the intermediate state. I'm going to Hades, this is from Thayer's Greek Lexicon, and then it has Strong's reference number. When you look it up in Strong's to reference what the Greek lexicographers say, this shows the Greek and how some different translators translate it different ways. I want to get to this slide. So again, you've got Hades, and also in the Old Testament, that was referred to as Sheol, or the place of the dead. Place of the dead. So again, when we are conceived, the spirit comes into the body. We are alive here. When we die, what does it say about the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus was here. The rich man was in torment. That is that Tartarus, that word. And this also is a temporary place. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness. So the word hell there, is that Gehenna? Are the angels in the place of eternal punishment right now? Nope. Peter goes on to say, delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So we don't have the judgment that has taken place yet. And the angels, they are in chains of darkness, but they are awaiting the judgment also. So we have two places in Hades, or this room of the dead, this unseen abode of the spirits. Luke 16:19 through 31 teaches that the spirit survives the body and it's conscious in Hades. Luke describes these two men, Lazarus and the rich man. And notice too that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Nothing is said about his body. It was probably buried somewhere and began to return to dust from which it came. But his spirit went to Hades. The rich man also died. His body was buried in a grave. His spirit went to Hades, but he didn't go up here. He was in torments. So both of these men were in Hades, but they were in different states. And there's this great gulf that was fixed between the two, where one could not go from one place to the other. The place in Hades where Lazarus was is called Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort. The place in Hades where the rich man was is called Tartarus, a place of torments. And again, like 2 Peter 2:4, it's a place where they are held waiting for the judgment. The rich man was not in a place of eternal punishment because the word used here is Gehenna. So when when Christ comes again, this is what the Bible teaches. When we die, our spirit is going to go to one of these places. Well, what happens when Christ comes back? When the resurrection takes place? Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So all will come forth. A-L-L. Who is that all referring to? It's referring to everybody that has died and their spirits are waiting for the judgment. That would be Adam and Eve. That would be Ahab and Jezebel, Judas, Nadab and Abihu. You name a person that's died where their soul is in Sheol or Hades, they are going to be awaiting the judgment. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32. But I say to you, I'm sorry, I've got the wrong passage there. Let me check 25. Okay, Matthew 25 and 32. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand. So who is going to be at this judgment? All nations, all nations. Is that all nations that ever existed? Well, let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, beginning at verse 20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Okay, so Jesus is talking to the people in these cities where he's performed miracles. In verse 21, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So both of these nations, all of these nations here are going to be judged at the same time. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 and begin reading at verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn them, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of South will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. Here's another section of passages that shows that all the nations, all the generations from the beginning of time are going to be together at this judgment which follows the resurrection. With this judgment, then the wicked will be cast into Gehenna, hell, this eternal place, and the righteous will go to heaven. along with the idea of this hell and Gehenna, that's the concept in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what's going to happen to them? These shall be punished with everlasting destruction, eternal, time without end, everlasting, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And again, this is hellfire which will never be quenched. Mark 9:44-45. It's the place of torment with fire and brimstone. So we have this process. God sends the Spirit to our body. It lives on the earth. When we die, that Spirit goes to the realm of the dead. The body goes back to the dust. Some people say, well, what if your body is dismembered? What if it's cremated? Isn't that going to affect the judgment? No, because we're going to have a new body, not made out of fleshly elements, fleshly material. It's not going to be a corruptible body. It's going to be an incorruptible body. When it is raised, we will be given that new body, and the judgment will take place, and we'll either receive a reward or a punishment. Now, some have advanced the idea that at the cross of Christ, this compartment was done away with, paradise, and at the cross of Christ, then we automatically go to heaven. Others have argued that this was done away with, and people go to the final and eternal Gehenna, that when Christ died on the cross, then everybody that was in the grave either went to heaven or to hell. Well, I've heard that over the years. The first part, that when someone dies, and I'm talking now about someone that's righteous, that they would go to heaven. And that idea was put out, and I thought, well, you know, I guess they can believe that if they want to. What difference does it make, because we want to go to heaven? But there was something that just didn't seem right about that. And back when I was studying for this lesson, back to Acts 2, what we read about David in Acts 2, I started verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So stop and think about this. If after the death of cross, after the death of Christ on the cross, if all of those that were righteous went to heaven because his blood saved everybody at that point, Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, David didn't go to heaven. David's not in heaven. He is not in heaven. And if David is not in heaven after the cross, nobody else will be in heaven. Because I don't know why people come up with the idea. I know some come up with it just because they think it's comforting. But if you think that someone goes directly to heaven or hell, I think Acts 2, where Peter is talking about David hasn't ascended. We know that the spirits are still waiting the judgment. But the other thing with that, it makes the judgment of no point. If we go automatically to heaven or hell, there's no point in a judgment. But we are going to have a judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And again, it's going to be that universal judgment, that universal resurrection, where people from all nations that are awaiting, and the angels too, the angels that are reserved in chains of darkness, reserved for judgment, we are all going to be judged at the same time. But people that believe that we go straight to heaven, one of the things it does, it reduces the judgment to a needless event. If there is going to be a judgment and everybody's in heaven and hell already, is God going to bring them back out of heaven and back out of hell for the judgment? The Bible doesn't teach that. The day of judgment is a day when the dead must give an account of their lives. And it's a day when the Lord sentences all to our eternal destiny in our resurrected bodies. Is it going to be a day where God has to make a decision? Now let's see. Am I going to say come to heaven or depart and go to hell? No, that is already decided when we die. It's already decided when we die, because we're either going to go to paradise or torments. But this judgment is going to be like an announcement of what is going to take place. And friends, we are all headed to one of these places we've talked about. Unless the Lord returns first, we are all headed to paradise. We are all headed to torments. We are all headed to heaven, or we are headed to hell. I shouldn't say we are all. I mean, all of us are going to go to one of those places, because that's what the Bible teaches. Matthew 7, we looked at this this morning on the Sermon on the Mount, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So friends, when people talk about their mother, their father, their grandfather, their friend in heaven now doing whatever they like doing, that concept does not exist in the Bible. It's not in there. We have not been judged yet. We are still waiting for that judgment, either in paradise or torments. And also, just as I said, all of us are going to either go to paradise in heaven or torments in hell. All of us, everyone here is going to hear one of two words. And it should put fear into us and humble us as to how we live our lives. He's either going to say, come ye blessed, inherit the kingdom. Matthew 25, 34. We are either going to hear come, or the other word we are going to hear is depart. Depart into everlasting fire. Matthew 25, 41. Friends, do you know where you're headed? Are you ready to hear those words? Are you ready to hear those words? I hope and pray that all of us hear that. Come ye blessed, inherit the kingdom of God. If we don't hear those words, we've got nobody to blame except ourselves. God has done everything for us to make this possible. He sent His Son to die for our sins. He's given us a revelation to tell us what we need to do, how we need to live. Everything is up to us. Everything is up to us. If there's anybody here this evening that wants to be obedient to the gospel invitation, or you have sin in your life and you need to ask for the prayers of the congregation, if there's anything that we can do to help you make your life right with God, please come forward now as we stand and sing.